All right, so I'll call the meeting to order. As I said, we do have a couple of, just one resolution that we need to go over beforehand, and that's Resolution 368, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement in New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, Project Crime Victims Assistance Program, Department of Probation. So I'll entertain a motion so we can get into discussion.
Second.
All right. You want to?
Basically, this is some money that the legislature made available. We got a call from Senator Amador's office. They had switched funding for our crime victims program. We used to be funded partly from the Department of Health, partly from ECJS, and that kind of happened mid-year last year. So the it cut us short of funds that we expected to run with the program this year, funds that we used for prevention efforts. So the legislature, specifically the Senate, found some money available. We got a call from Senator Amador's office, and any of the crime victims programs that were cut, they were offering this funding to. So actually, I think we were cut $27,000, and this is for like
$39,000.
So we actually came out ahead with it. So that's what this motion is for, is just to be able to accept that money. It's a one-time shot for this year.
Questions, anybody? Okay. And if none, all in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. See, that was relatively painless. Mm-hmm. He teased you because they don't all go like that.
Comparatively.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any resolution go into discussion then for this then? Okay, so Resolution 357, setting a public hearing for amended proposed local law number 12 of 2015, local law of County of Ulster for the regulation of pet sellers, to be held on Tuesday, November 10th, 2015 at 7:10 p.m. So I'll entertain a motion. Okay, second. Okay.
Just for 10 for both.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
10. So that was good that you did that. Okay.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
All right, so we do have some copies of the law. If people have copies or need copies, does everybody have one? Okay, so bear with me. Let's get some of this stuff out of the way. There is, out front, there is some coffee and water, so if at any time you need to grab something, please feel free to go out and grab.
Thank you.
I said what we would do is we would kind of start at the beginning and work forward or backwards, depending on how you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. So let's start on page one. Are there any concerns with the legislative intent?
I don't think we should get into that.
Okay.
It's up to you guys to have your own intent.
Okay. All right. Good. That's why we have her here. Definitions. This is, I think, where we get into some concerns. So, hold on. There we go. Okay. One. I'm just going to go down and, yell out if there's a concern. Number one, two, three, four. Okay, this is where I think where we have most of our concerns.
Can I just ask
yes.
a question?
Sure. Okay, just state your name if you would. I apologize, I should have said that.
I'll start the ball rolling. I'm Beverly Delaney, and I'm from the Shongham Kennel Club. And I know that the state law, which defines us as dog dealers, pet dealers, it says that the municipalities may make the laws more stringent. That I had no issue with. But does the law allow for the municipalities to change the definitions? That's one of my biggest concerns or issues, is that suddenly we've gone from a dog dealer as defined by the state, and now this defines dog dealer as something different. So I'm just throwing that out there to get things started.
Are you in number five or
I'm in number five.
Okay.
Well,
So I want to just stay on four for right now.
I've suddenly gone at the state level as a dog dealer to suddenly I'm now a pet seller.
Four, five, and six. Mm-hmm. This is Tom Delaney. Four, five, and six are closely joined at the hip in that they are. That does go to the point of how can I'm making new definitions for the same thing in different places, and how can we be consistent if we redefine everything?
Right? You do understand that if the municipality has their own local law, that will be taking precedent over the state law and enforcement for enforcement purposes. So.
I do.
Okay.
But not being a lawyer, you're going to keep us honest.
As much as I can.
The law, to be a pain in the neck, nitpicky guy, it says you can make all the rules you want to make the laws more stringent as it relates to health and safety. It didn't say, oh, you can rewrite the whole thing into anything you want and make all new definitions and everything else. I thought the wording was pretty clear about you can go do whatever you want with health and safety, but I'm not sure it said you can start from scratch and make all your own definitions from the get-go.
Sorry.
Okay.
Well, I think there's a compelling argument as to why we're getting into these definitions and changing them, because it's the legislature's opinion that it gets into the health and safety of the animals. So, correct me if I'm wrong with you.
No, I think it does allow, because I think there was a letter from the Attorney General that was sent after passage of the January 2014 puppy mill legislation, and it says this law allows, in addition to allowing the municipal and local governments to adopt regulations at least as stringent as state law, it also allows localities to impose a higher standard of care for both local retailers and source breeders. So in my opinion, that the state law allowing municipalities to impose these regulations, I think that's part of the whole point of the law, is to allow municipalities to regulate individuals who were not previously regulated. I don't think that definition flies in the face. I think it furthers the purpose of the puppy mill legislation.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing I would add to that. Bill Ketzer, legislative director for the ASPCA. The only thing I would add to that is that nothing, right, prior to the passage of that state law in 2013. Nothing precluded a local government from regulating from 0 to 25 sales threshold anyway. So you already had that authority to do that. All that you're doing is you're bringing the state definition to conform with something that you could have already possibly have done.
Ken, do you want to bring up what we discussed in the office?
I know that a lot of the issue has been the number of dogs being an arbitrary number, 9, 10, 14, 8, 6, and I've learned some about pet breeding at this point, throughout our discussions moving forward, and I wouldn't be opposed to setting a litter limit and not an animal limit. Because, as has been said a number of times, a litter could be two dogs, a litter could be one dog, or a litter could be 14 dogs. That's one place, I think, where maybe we can, instead of, arguing about the definition, is it a pet dealer or a pet seller or an animal seller or anything like that, why don't we, discuss if there's a way we could come to some sort of a consensus, maybe not everybody's happy with, but some sort of a consensus on a number of litters and maybe, I don't want to say ditch because it's not the right word, but and eliminate the animal number. Maybe that could be something that would, move the process forward.
Okay.
I think you're on the right track, Ken, although it always pains me to say that.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
But I would like to build on that in a little bit different way. I kind of like the way it is with the two litters and the nine dogs, but it does present a certain unfairness in certain situations. And so what I'd like to suggest is the possibility, if we could talk it through, of just kind of carving out the problem that specifically creates without just opening up everything else, where someone might breed animals that are capable of having 30 dogs a year in two litters versus others. And so if we made it as a one of, let's say, three options, one is no more than nine dogs, and the other is no more than two litters whose total doesn't exceed nine, and the third option is one litter if the litter exceeds nine.
Okay. All right. Some hands over here. Questions? Yes.
I
name, state, yes.
Merle Bornstein, have Art Animal Welfare Fund and part of the task force. Not to negate the fact that we are trying to keep the litters and the numbers small, but there are dogs who will, in one litter, have 11 or 12 births, which puts them over the number.
I think he covered that.
That's what I just addressed.
Of the two litters, nine each.
No, I'm saying or one litter, no matter how many dogs. No matter how many puppies.
Okay,
could be three different ways. A limit of nine, a limit of two litters, not to exceed nine, or one litter, however many puppies there are.
The way it's written, it already sort of does that. Because any time you have two numbers like that, you're going to go with the lower one. So if the two litters don't exceed nine, if the two litters exceed nine, if one litter exceeds nine, you're a pet seller.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to, what my thought was is maybe we could, pacify some of the smaller breeders if we eliminated the nine dogs. So that way, if you're normally having litters that are eight dogs or six dogs, and you're doing one a year, and then all of a sudden your dog has a litter of 10, then boom, you're a pet seller, and you never have been before, and you may never be again under the definition of the law, because if you could predict with certainty that a golden retriever is going to have eight puppies a litter, then I would say maybe that would be something that would make sense to have a dog, the number of puppies as part of the law. But maybe being that it's not an exact science, it would be good to take that out and just go with the litters. Because to me, if you're doing more than one litter per year and you're selling them, you're a pest seller. It is a business at that point.
Okay, right. Let me go to Cappy.
Again, I guess my question is, why are we limiting it only to pure breed rescue organizations?
Because that's the language that Mr. Delaney provided to us.
Okay, but my question is,
remains
the same.
It also.
No, I mean that's my question.
Exempts other things in here, but
I get it. But I guess my question is, what
good point?
Is there a reason?
The reason that this was originally asked for was, as a breeder, we can be a seller, we could be a dealer, we could be a rescue, and as such, being able to be multiple things under these definitions, then how do we comply if all of the rules for all these things are all different, yet we can act in any of those capacities depending on what behavior we happen to be exhibiting, and it puts us in a conflict situation. So we were trying to get rid of one of those conflicts.
Understood.
Right.
I think it makes it legally relatively attackable if you're limiting it to only pure breed rescue organizations.
Well, it doesn't, because then it says duly incorporated humane societies and animal protective associations dedicated to care of unwanted animals. So it continues.
I understand.
Right.
I think it's a significant legal impediment. That's just my opinion. There are certainly very reputable non-pure breed rescue organizations.
Not saying
I just
not.
Think the word pure breed is makes it. If anyone ever would challenge the law itself,
here, how about
makes it attackable. Oh,
yeah, I'm going to work with you.
So if I, do I need to state every time?
No.
Okay. We'll get it right. Yes,
yeah.
It's on me. Really.
Oh. Okay. So can I step back for a second and just talk a little bit about why these definitions are why they are
mm-hmm.
the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom's what he was talking about here. You know. The dog source breeder, if you fall within this definition, okay, even if you do, I know that you had earlier issues with having to comply with, like, this Section 12, I believe it is, like, larger care standards that are intended for large-scale breeders. That really isn't intended to fall. I mean, the way this is drafted, you're not going to be held responsible for that unless you are, in fact, a relatively
right.
large care breeder who's actually selling.
Not worried about dog source breeder particularly.
Okay. So there's no standard of care talking. There's a definition for dog dealer. There's no standard of care associated with that. I mean, so I'm just trying to isolate the issue. So the issue is the pet seller definition,
so,
correct?
So,
yes.
No.
That's
so,
that's
no.
Just, that's
no. So here's.
Let him finish.
Go ahead.
Well, so. Right now, I'm sorry. I'm not. It's not my intention to put you on the spot.
No, fine. Let's go. That's what we're here for.
But how many animals do you sell a year?
None.
On average.
This year, last year.
Okay.
None the year before.
All right.
The year before that, we sold 12. How do I know? Sometimes I'm in. Sometimes I'm not. How do I know when I need a permit? I don't know.
Right. Okay.
Right.
All right. No.
That's we're sitting here
that.
Right on that yep. cusp of. Depending on how many are born, I either need a permit or I don't, and I don't know how many are going to be born, because dogs aren't factories where you crank their tail and you just figure out how many dogs you're going to get, right? It's a random thing, right? And so that's what starts to put us in a bind, right? Because we never know if we're going to have to comply or not from a permitting standpoint. But where I really fall out of the boat is...
Yeah, I've got
the state made this easy. The state said, look, everybody's a dealer. I don't care what you do. I don't care if it's wholesale. I don't care if it's retail. If you're selling dogs, you're selling dogs.
The state doesn't say that.
It does. It says
retail
if you're
sales.
Selling a dog, and if you're not retail, then you're...
USDA.
Right. And so it's pretty clean.
Right.
And then they give two exemptions. One is... If you breed in your house, you know, your residence, you get an exemption to 25. And the other is, if you're a humane society or SPCA, you get an exemption.
Right.
So it's pretty clean. Now we come in with this. Now we've got three definitions. But you know what? There's not three definitions. There's nine definitions. And if you really want to get into it, you've lumped together under a pet seller. Joe and Mary, who have two dogs and decide to breed. You've lumped in the hobby breeder who is us guys who are not for profit. We do not file our taxes with this on there because we don't make a profit in 3 out of 5 years. We are forbidden by the IRS from calling ourselves a business. So we are not. Then you lump in there a breeder that is for profit. And there are those breeders out there. And you lump into it a pet shop. And all four of those are pet sellers. So now you put me as a not-for-profit organization in the same criteria as a business and a pet shop. And I don't belong there. I don't fit with any of that.
There are members of not-for-profit organizations who breed over that threshold and are licensed by the state. So it's not
absolutely.
Really...
Okay. And when you start to get bigger, I'll use the 25 number, at some point you're making enough money where it starts to get questionable whether you can actually be not-for-profit or not. Now, that number is going to vary depending on what you're breeding, But at some point, you're making money, and at some point, there's probably a limit that makes sense. I can pretty well tell you, I've never made money. In 30 years, I've never made money. Okay. And so I don't want to be in the same bill as a pet shop or a commercial enterprise. I don't belong there. I'm a hobby.
Okay. Yes.
If I'm just confused about the not-for-profit. When, and the word hobby, I was always just under the impression that a hobby, and I'm sure I'm wrong from what I hear, was something you did for fun and pleasure, but that once you sell anything, you're a business. I own a restaurant. If I don't make a profit, it doesn't make me a not-for-profit. It just makes me, and it's a small restaurant. So I'm trying to understand the difference between selling something, and if you don't make a profit, then you're not a business. I'm very
That's correct.
Confused about that, because in my personal...
If you look up...
What I'm saying is that you have two dogs, you get together, you take their puppies, you sell them, you get whatever, $800. And whether or not that covers the cost of feeding and everything, you're still selling them for money. It's kind of, forgive me, like,
no.
I don't know, prostitution. Anyway.
Well, hold on. Okay, let me. Maybe I'll clarify real quick.
Okay.
The New York Yankees lose money every year.
Yeah.
On paper, they lose money every year.
Yeah.
Okay? Because by the time you take the money you brought in, the money you go out,
yeah.
At the end of the day, it's zero or less than zero.
Okay?
So, let's maybe we need to go away from the not-for-profit as opposed to not making a profit, as opposed to like a hospital could be a not-for-profit.
Sure, correct.
But we're not making money, because when you look at your expenses mm-hmm. and your income, at the end of the day, it's zero or less than zero. Okay, so that's
so it's not a
it's
quote unquote,
it's not like a 501(c).
Okay,
right? So
okay.
We're just not making money.
Yeah,
so that being said, and bear with me 1 second, please. That being said, I want to kind of just bring us back a little bit. That I think a lot of it is, as Ken said, a lot of it is this number 9. We need, as part of 4, if we can look at the litter question, you know, whether it's, forget about the number, and Ken, I'm going to come to Ken because he had an idea with something else as part of that, but, you know, we had, you know, breeds more than 1 liter in a calendar year. You know, something like that.
You don't measure by volume.
Oh, I was thinking of Jay while she was away at Oktoberfest, so there I was. So I'm thinking to the future here. So maybe we need to look at that. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question.
Name, please.
Kirsty Golson. I have a question. Since the permit is free, there's no fee for this. I'm sincerely want to know what the concern is.
Can I respond?
Hold on.
To be part of this.
So we're only on page 1.
Okay.
So
yeah, but we can go there.
No, I
want to
know. Like not wanting to be lumped in
that's certainly
terms.
Right.
And, you know, I'm curious what the hardship is to you to be in there.
Okay.
If you're.
We will get there.
Yeah, that's sort of leaping
this
forward.
This is like
we're still
a
working
lot of
on page
yeah.
1 and 2. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
My name is Matt. Response to the non-for-profit side of things, and also to comment on what you said about the hospital, our hospital, the Yankees. You have a hospital. Yeah, they may not be making money, but they're still in business, and they can still employ 1,000, 3,000 people. They're still providing income to people. We're providing income not to ourselves. We employ nobody. We do this for a hobby, and the hobby side of it is the love of dogs, and a lot of what we do as purebred people is what we do is we spread, you know, knowledge on a particular breed. So say you have your granddaughter wants to come get a dog. What we do is with our particular breed is we'll try to help spread the knowledge of that dog, the history of it. Certain dogs might be prone to bite people. They may be more of a protective breed. Some breeds may be more family adaptive. In order to spread those, that's why we breed, to help get the knowledge out about dogs and to help do that. And yes, it does cost money for food and that and the other thing, and we can't just give the dogs away to do that because, you know,
okay.
Yeah, let's go. But remember, I want to try to come back to this 4 with this number. If we can get rid of that number and just look at the...
All right, I was going to respond to the hobby thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I understand the idea of doing, of breeding as a hobby. Let's say I really like to make ice cream, and I've got the money and the resources and another job and the ability to serve ice cream as a hobby. I don't do it to make money. I do it as a wash, or maybe I lose a little bit of money, but it's what I like to do. Does that mean I get it to be exempted from the health codes with regard to serving ice cream because I only do it as a hobby, because it's not my quote-unquote business and because I'm not making money? That's why I have trouble, one of the reasons why I have trouble, well, exempting a certain section of individuals that call themselves, for any reason, hobby breeders. Because if we're going to regulate pet breeders and pet sellers, I don't think that we can carve out something because you call it something different, or because you don't do it to make money, or because you don't make money, or because of any of those things. If there's going to be a regulation, then it's got to apply equally, evenly to everybody.
You must feel there's some allowance for carve-out because you have the number of 9. If there was no allowance, there'd be no number at all. So you just basically
trying to get to deal with that number.
This is very disturbing what they're doing over here.
Guys.
It's just very distracting, to be honest.
I'm distracting?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for apologizing. I appreciate that.
Yeah, go ahead, Lucy.
My name's Lucy Muller, and what I want to know is, if it's a hobby, shouldn't 1 litter a year be enough?
So? Some of us don't even breed that often.
If my hobby is rebuilding old cars, is 1 car enough?
Animals, these aren't cars.
And per litter also just came up. The first time.
Same point, though, right?
And that's why we're trying to come up with get rid of a number, and maybe just do 1 litter. Yes, ma'am.
My question, the way I read Section 4, it just... to go back, and I'm not even listening about the numbers at the moment. The sale or offering for sale more than 9 dogs or cats, or who breeds more than 2 litters. So, to me, there's 2 different groups here. I mean, we're here, you know, talking about being able to breed our purebred dogs and perpetuate our puppies. This is talking about adult dogs, to me. So 9 dogs or 1 litter.
Right, but if you bred dogs that, let's say, only have 2 per litter,
then
you had 3 litters, you would be inclusive in this, whereas the 9 would not include you. But if you have a dog that 1 litter gives you 10, you would be included. That's why we're looking at the possibility of maybe removing a number and going solely with the number of litters. So if you have 3 litters, if we say, let's say, more than 1 litter, you want to have it be a hobby breeder and breed 1 litter a year, so be it. But if you're going to breed 2 or more, then you're breeding, the chances are very good that you, especially if those litters are having 8, 9, 10 dogs per litter, then the chances are very good that you are breeding those dogs to make money. That's why we're looking at if we can do litter versus...
I would beg to differ.
Fine. Right? Okay, well, let's...
I don't think we're ever going to come...
No, we're not going to ever come up.
So what I would like to see is perhaps, because this doesn't necessarily mean that these 9 dogs were mine, born and raised on my property. What I would like to see is some sort of a definition for those of us who have been doing this for a long time, who belong to our parent clubs, who belong to kennel clubs. We're doing this for a reason, you know. I mean, it's we don't do it to make money. We do it because we love our dogs and we love our breed and we belong to kennel clubs and we run shows. And we do this in our home. We are not buying these dogs from someone else and then reselling them. These are ours. Some of them we even keep. Is there a way that we can make a definition specifically for that and go from there?
Right.
Okay. Just and respectfully, that I think what we should do, whether one, what is whatever the intent is, Mr. Chairman, back to what you were saying, let's look at these numbers. Are we going to look at a litter? Are we going to look at, you know, stick with the number? So, and this is something that Bill and I have often come up, you know, up with questions come up at other communities that we've worked with.
Okay.
Yes, I think I see that lady's problem. And the first end of the definition, which states who engages in the sale or offer of more than nine dogs, doesn't include the phrase breeding. It seems to leave that out, whereas the latter part of that sentence includes breeding. And I think if breeding were at both parts of that, I think that's what the lady is saying, that the first part implies that you didn't have to have bred them.
Right.
I could have just bought them somewhere else. So I think we need to add breeding to be equal to both sides.
Okay.
Well, and you're very right. And that's where I was a few minutes ago, where I said, I take great exception to be putting in the same pile as a commercial breeder whose intent is to profit,
right,
and put in the same pile as a pet shop whose intent is nothing more to get dogs and sell dogs and make a profit.
Well, I think it was just missing a word.
Well, I think it's more than a word, in that the entire definition of seller,
thank you,
it fails to distinguish the differences between the nine different kinds of things in the marketplace, and it doesn't categorize them correctly.
Okay, hold on.
I just want to go back to the kennel club and that you are members of for many years. As we, some of us who have done any research online, understand there are no standards for care. There might be breed standards, quote unquote. There are no standards for the care of the animals. Your kennel clubs and your breed clubs do not oversee care. That's A. The other question I have is, of course, differentiating yourself between a seller or a store might get their animals from you.
Never.
From someone else. And as far as making a profit, I can't imagine that if somebody offered you $1,500 a dog and someone else $800, you would take the 15 if they were equal people. I'm very confused about this.
Just let her
not make any money. And one more thing. There's a local kennel called Crashaw Kennel. I don't know if it belongs to
Crashaw. They're a USDA. They are a USDA.
Okay.
Let me just finish. I did look up online, and I know that they do like to breed purebreds like everyone else. They also breed what's called a doxychon, which means that some of your purebred breeders are now selling quote unquote mutts because they were breeding dachshunds with Bichons, giving them a name and selling them. This is a small local kennel. So what I'm trying to understand is, how do people do this? How can they not want to be regulated? Not even regulated. We're all here because we love animals. What is the problem with having someone once every 2 years or once a year stop in and say, hey, your dogs look great or they don't look great?
And
I don't know why that's an issue.
I think the kennel you mentioned is just closed. It was in your
is what?
It closed.
And it was a USDA wholesale kennel.
Go ahead.
I mean, I understand the strong desire to separate yourselves from the commercial sellers. I get that. You know, I run the SPCA locally. Obviously, we, whether you want to say adopt or sell, we transfer the ownership of animals from our organization to private people in the public. You guys do the same thing. I would take offense if somebody referred to me as, you know, in the same breath as a pet store, because I feel like we operate under different standards. I get the impression that you guys take a lot of pride in the standards that you operate under. That's great. But what we're talking about here, whether it's nine dogs, two dogs, 27 dogs, we are talking about lives, and all this is designed to do is verify that those lives are being properly treated. So I'm kind of you know, with Merle, in the respect that I don't quite see the resistance, if you guys are doing what you do well, and I have no reason to believe that you're not, I don't know why there's a resistance to, you know, come in, spend your 10 minutes, verify it, and be on your way. If it allows us to actually catch the bad guys in the act, which is not anybody in this room.
Okay. Well, well said. That being said.
So.
We're going back to a number?
Can
I ask a question?
Sure.
Why do you breed your dogs? And I know that sounds like, but I'm actually trying to come up with some language after listening to you. Why do you breed your dogs?
The closest analogy, it's not quite right, that I can get to is, it's a little bit like trying to protect an endangered species. A lion looks the way it looks down through the ages, and zoos protect those animals and try and breed them true to make sure that that animal does not change in its fundamental nature.
Okay, but now why do you sell the pups? Why do you sell them?
To offset the cost of, it's very expensive to
do
all of the genetic health tests to prove that you're not propagating eye diseases, hip dysplasia, the myriad of problems that are in all of the breeds. So if anybody tells you they breed dogs and their breed doesn't have any problems, they're lying to you. And so to do all of that genetic testing to ensure that when you do produce an animal, you produce a good quality one from a health standpoint, and secondarily, to get an independent assessment that says it actually is a good dog, you have to go get that assessment, typically through a dog show, that says,
or vet,
that's a good dog and that's not. And when you breed only the very best with the very best and get health clearances, then you're maintaining the breed to what it was originally intended to do, its original form and function. All of these dogs are here and have jobs. They all have a role that they play, and the role of every dog is slightly different as to why they even exist on the planet. And so you're trying to maintain the history and the fundamental nature of why that dog is even here on the planet. And nobody's going to protect that fundamental nature of the breed except for us. Everyone else is going to say, hey, I'll have a cockapoo now, thanks. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to protect the fundamental nature of the breed, and it's very expensive to do that.
Thank you.
Adam?
Okay. I do not, unlike some people in the room, I do not have issue with you charging a fee for the sale of your dogs. As an SPCA, we charge a fee for the adoption. That fee is designed, like yours, to recoup some of the expenses we incur in the care of those animals. Understood. Your stance, though, is that you want to protect the breed. Also understood. I have three dogs living in my house. Two of them are purebreds. They came through the shelter, but they're purebreds of a breed, or two breeds, Beagle and Irish Wolfhound, that I am an enthusiast for. I love both those breeds. You know, 10 years I worked at that shelter looking for an Irish, waiting for a Wolfhound to come through. One did. I finally got her. Great. I'm thrilled. I would like to see that breed continue. So again, from my perspective, I'm not taking issue with somebody as a breeder or continuing to breed responsibly a purebred animal. However, I have 44 dogs in the SPCA right now. I brought up population numbers. I have two purebred German Shepherds. I have one purebred Chihuahua. I have 8 purebred Yorkies, 7 purebred Brussels Griffons, and 1 purebred Neapolitan Mastiff. That's 40% of my population made up of purebred dogs. It strongly suggests that not everybody in the business of breeding these animals is doing it responsibly. Those are the people we're trying to catch in this net here. And those are the people that need to be stopped, too, quite frankly, continue to keep your breeds safe, happy, and healthy going into the future, because if they continue to operate and peppering SPCAs and humane societies with their cast-offs, that doesn't help your situation either.
Okay. Agreed. I'm going to go to Brian. And then.
Point of information, because it's a healthy discussion. However, as chairman, I think you brought up a very germane issue when we're talking about specifically at this point at 2:45, looking at numbers and letters for us to move forward.
Yeah. I mean, can we come up with something that says, you know, more than one litter, and get rid of the number and say more than one litter? I mean, all I hear is how no one's really had a lot of litters here, and you know, and if you do by chance have two.
Okay, can I also ask, if we're going to change the wording in this first paragraph for Petzella, I would like to see it's this particular Petzella that they're bred by the person. Because this implies that I could buy these dogs and resell them. I would like to see the pet seller be basically a breeder.
It says both. The first part is sell, you know, the dogs, and then the second one in the pet seller also says or breeds more than two litters per year. So breeds is in there as well.
Right. I retract my statement. I see the difference in the two phrases.
Isn't that the person who engages in the sale
that's
of
not
nine
the breeder.
Dogs? All isn't that covered in the
right,
dog
because
dealer?
If you're that's selling them, then you're a dog dealer.
Okay,
I would like to see a distinction between those of us who are breeding the dogs and raising them and selling them from our home, as opposed to someone who could be selling a dog that I buy from you and then resell it.
One of the things we need to do as legislators is just consider all the permutations that could evolve, who could abuse, where's the loophole, everything else. So I'm going to say this not with an eye toward anyone saying at the table, but just in terms of a thought process, since we've seen so many loopholes and everything that we've crafted in past years. One of the loopholes here might be that you have a litter of dogs, and it's your second litter, so you can't sell it without registering, and you know somebody else who's had a second litter of dogs that they can't do the same thing. You swap them, and then each one is selling dogs they didn't breed.
Now you're a dog source breeder or a dealer or a broker or whatever you are. That makes you a whole new thing.
But that's what it's saying here, the sale of dogs that you've acquired and are selling being exempt from the law.
Exempt. I'm just asking that pet sellers specifically deal with those individuals who breed and sell the dogs that they have on their residence, not include in that people that bring dogs into their homes and resell them.
So if you bring in dogs that were bred by someone else to sell,
then I would be a pet dealer
or a dog dealer. Number five.
Right.
So
I think they may be right. It may be duplicative because it's in both sections.
All right. I have the other, young lady.
And does that change the care for the animal? I mean, we have to decide whatever we're deciding. What's most important is that there is no loophole. There's no animal. There's no, if you take yourselves out of something that, like Adam said, it leaves a whole lot of people who aren't responsible, you know, exempt too. So whatever we're doing, ultimately it has to be, whatever the number,
so
how the animals are cared for has to be.
With that exact thought,
first.
Where I think we've been trying to go is, in these nine classifications or categories of people that engage in dog activity, there's some of them we should treat much more strictly. The number should be one, not nine. It might be one. And if we can separate the different classifications, maybe with a little more granularity, then you go after some of those loophole things. And you say, your number is one. It's not nine. It's not 15. It's one. And there's a whole bunch of people that will now fit a much, much tighter control. And then there's one group that we're going to argue over the number on. And so there's going to be nine groups we're all going to say, I agree, or eight groups we're going to say, I agree, we're done here. And there's one group we're going to argue over the numbers.
I understand what you're saying in that. And I think it causes all kinds of potential issues. Someone may want to breed mutts and sell them.
They do breed mutts and sell them.
Well, then you don't know how many dog, what category you put a mutt in.
They are a...
But nonetheless, they can be anything. But that's the reason I made my original suggestion here, which if you're going to stick to the number 9 or 1 litter, whichever is greater, you're allowed. It covers in a fair way across the board.
I don't think you can have arbitrary numbers. In fact, I know you can't. Your numbers have to be rationally based. You can't just pick one and go 9, and then if there's ever a challenge, you go, why 9? And you go, because it's more than 8 and less than 10. So we have to be, I know it sounds overly lawyerly, but our numbers have to be rational. And that's the word I think that's used, the legal word that's used. Secondly, and as importantly, your suggestion about stricter standards, you may be able to do that, but you have to have on arbitrary reasons. You'd have to be able mm-hmm. to explain very specifically each category.
And I think I could do that. Now, I'm not saying we need 9 categories, by the way. Don't get me wrong, because that gets really complicated. I think we're going to need,
Let me just finish my point.
We have three.
Let me just finish my point.
Hold on.
I think the overarching issue that we're kind of maybe glossing over a little is what the purpose of it. I didn't write this. Mm-hmm. I didn't sponsor it. It's not. I have no dog in the fight, kind of. That being said, I think the overarching reality is this is for the protection of dogs, not for the protection of the people who breed them or sell them.
Yes.
And if I may expand on that, the people that are in this room that are breeding dogs are already protecting
them. Exactly. We're not. Right.
So does so the question we ask ourselves is, and I would ask you gentlemen that do this for a living, does this law give you the ammunition to go after the bad guys?
It gives us a foot in the door, which we might not have had otherwise. And with that foot in the door, it sometimes reveals probable cause if we need to pursue a search warrant. That's a step we don't currently have.
And let me ask another question then. That being said, I'm the bad guy. I don't register. How do you ever catch me?
You answer if I see ads for dogs for sale in papers, answer those. Send an investigator
or
in plain clothes.
Complain. A neighbor might complain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm just asking questions because you know this is really what this is about, a law so that we can get the bad guys. So.
And if that neighbor complains, now he actually has cause to go into that house where
the puppies for sale. They're already in violation of the law for failing to register, which is one thing to get them on. And then again, that gives me the foot in the door. Even if they meet me at a neutral location instead of bringing me to their home, which is more than likely what would happen if their home is not a good thing, the fact that they are selling and in conversation, they may admit that they have 8 other puppies at home, something like that, right there, I have my justification under this law to go visit their home. And we are protecting the animals that are being mistreated there and possibly preventing a future reoccurrence at that address.
Melissa?
I'm sorry, my paper got a little wet.
I thought you were going to say your dog ate it.
No. My kids actually were able to go to school one time and say the dog ate their homework. So New York State law says pet dealer means any person who engages in the sale or offering of more than 9 animals per year for profit to the public. So that's already in the New York State law. Such definitions shall include breeders who sell or offer to sell animals, provided that a breeder who sells or offers to sell directly to the consumer fewer than 25 animals per year that are born and raised on the breeder's residential premises shall not be considered a pet dealer as a result of selling or offering to sell such animals. So the numbers are already in this very lovely New York State law. Sorry, I just wanted to bring that up.
And does this mirror that?
I would no.
This is stricter, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, if I
may. Yeah, go ahead.
What I would recommend, so this is regardless of where the number actually falls, mm-hmm. okay, what number is actually determined if it's that. Let's use Albany County for an example. So what Albany County did was they lifted this provision, which is actually subdivision 4 of section 400 of the Ag Markets Law, which you just read. This is how they said it. They said pet dealer means any person who engages in the sale of offering to sell more than 9 animals per year for profit to the public, period, right? And then they said such definitions shall include. So just hypothetically, if you kept 9 here to enable you to do what, you know, I don't want to pre-guess the legislative intent.
For public was in there, or for profit was in there?
They just said such definitions shall include breeders who sell or offer to sell animals, provided a breeder sells or offers to sell directly to consumer. Fewer than, and rather than 25, that's when they dip the number. So they say I can't even remember what number they arrived on. They did lower the sales threshold for that second category. I don't think that they settled on 9, although that's where the legislation started. But they did retain that language because it gets you out from under the dog dealer definition below to it. Because right now, I think you're right. I think that it's a little fuzzy. I think the two are kind of like mushed together. And it's not exactly clear.
Go ahead.
If I could, I had spoken with Tracy Steves in the county attorney's office, who was heavily involved in drafting it. I've taken another look through the legislation, and dog dealers would already qualify as pet sellers, right, under this definition. And the only place where the words dog dealer are in the law is in the section regarding certification,
right.
Section 11. I would be willing to lose the definition of dog dealer altogether to make it less confusing, and because the words dog dealer don't occur anywhere in the standard of care of the animals. And the pet, you know, people who were considered dog dealers under this law would be pet sellers under this law who were already required to be under the standard of care. So if that makes it less confusing and less duplicative, I'm fine with removing it.
Right, so you're saying remove and turn a dealer into a seller.
Dealer's already a seller.
Which is
when you
what
read
you
the,
said he already was.
Right, and I have my little cheat sheet here to help keep my little brain straight.
And if I may, the component with 4 that I think becomes confusing is the first sentence says, who engages in the sale or offering for sale more than 9.
Right.
And then we get into the breeding component.
Right.
And the reason we're saying more than 2 litters is because if you're breeding more, we're really looking more at numbers there, population numbers, and I don't want to say flooding the market, but you know, if we're breeding a lot of dogs, that's more dogs in the market, or cats, there's more dogs on the for sale, so to speak, and as a result, we're flooding the marketplace.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like two separate things.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I think what the confusion was in number 4 is that pet seller had one distinct definition of selling any dogs back and forth, you know, if you sell more than 9, and then somehow we took that to mean bred 9. That's what I thought it meant, and I retract that statement. And then the other component is someone who breeds more than 2 litters. So they're both under the definition, if you will, of a pet seller. So there's 2 bullets.
But you are, because if you breed a litter and you have more than 9, you are still offering for sale.
Right.
So you,
but
you
still
fit in
includes
there. So
other people that.
Right. But
just
I
like
think,
he was saying.
I think the sticking point is for that home breeder, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that has one litter every 15 months.
Someone get him a pint.
That has 1 litter every 15 months of 10 dogs.
Right.
Now they have to register.
Right.
So how do we fix that if we can?
If everyone's comfortable with 1 litter, I'm comfortable with 1 litter. I mean, I had moved it to 2 litters because I thought that, if a family dog accidentally got pregnant twice and you sold off the dogs because you had nothing else to do with them, then...
Yes.
My name is Matt again. The thing with the 2 litters is if you have a smaller dog and they have 2 litters and they only have 2 dogs per litter and they only have 4, all of a sudden that's more strict than it could be 9. So that's
and
one thing.
And again, if I could, can I just respond to that very quick? That's why originally it was nine or two litters.
Right.
And the two litters, the nine was to protect the small breeds, and the two litters was to protect the big breeds, and that was the intention behind that. But there's been some friction about that it's too.
And that's why it's hard for us to kind of come to the per litter.
So,
can I ask another question about section four? How would you clarify?
Hang on one second.
I'm sorry.
No, we have.
Okay.
If we're okay with taking F5,
then we
just need to do a resolution.
Not a resolution. I just want to make sure that we're agreeing. Is there an agreement to take out Section 5? That's what I want to find out.
Well,
I got to go get this.
And that's where I wanted to follow up, right?
Well, all right, but hold on a minute. We're doing that purely from our standpoint, because if we take out 5, then we have to. Make an amendment and then pass the resolution to make that amendment if
agreed.
We agreed on that. But let's go to I want to.
Okay.
So before we do 5, I want to finish.
I just wanted to in section 4 it says nine or two litters per year. Can we clarify what a year is? Are we talking January to December? Are we talking a 12-month period? Again, I think that needs to be clarified, because if I breed my dog in October, she won't have her puppies until December. I won't sell them until the following year. So I just kind of need to know when I need my permit.
I would say per calendar year.
It's a calendar year.
So from January to December.
A random calendar year.
January to December.
Everyone in the county.
I just think it needs to be clarified.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
No, hold on.
Because I want to respond. I want to respond to the idea of having everybody in the county have to
show up on December 1st asking for your permit.
Every single permit that anybody gets, you have a deadline to apply for the permit. And it's normally it's not always January, it's not always February, but it's always the same month for everybody. You can't have an individual deadline for each individual breeder in Ulster County. That's a nightmare.
But then what if my
dog spreads the workload?
All right.
Spreads the workload.
Take a hand.
Okay. Is it true that most of the time the breeding is in the spring or no?
No.
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 Then that's it.
Only if we're having deer. Only if we're having deer.
Nice. My thought process is on that, if I can respond.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Let's
it
just.
It doesn't take us for a year.
It's just if I miss the date, if I miss the time to file, and then all my dog gets pregnant, and then now I could be in violation of the law because I missed the date, and I say I want to be, and if I want to go get a permit, and I'm being told that I can't get the permit and be in compliance with the law because the permit period's closed, and now I'm open to possibly get fined. And that's where, that's our the issue, is the possibility of fines.
Hold on. We are getting ahead of ourselves. Once again, we're still on 4.
Yes.
We have to.
Right.
We've got to get through 4.
If
we get through on 4, if we get through with 4, we can figure out what a year means.
So,
in 4 is where we need to put the calendar year. Would be in 4.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
The calendar year.
It's on the second line.
Oh. Yes.
It says per year.
Oh, correct.
Per calendar year.
Okay. Right.
We can talk about the permitting when we get to the permitting.
Okay.
But specifically to clarify what a year is, because a year could be a year from when the dog gets pregnant. But I think to be fair to everybody in the county, it should be in a calendar year. Yep. So if you have two more, between the months of January and December of any calendar year, you have more than whatever number we come up with. Mm-hmm. So
okay, now
we can't vote on that until we're
done. Now I'm going to work around the table.
Okay.
I'm on.
Go with Bill.
On section 5.
Okay.
4.
We
I'm still on 4.
We're going to finish 4.
You guys say
right,
four.
Okay. I thought it was relevant to. Well, okay.
Thank
okay.
You.
I just wanted to speak on the removal of section.
No,
I
was saying
we can wait a minute.
Okay.
Anything on 4 over here?
Dog licenses are. You're supposed to buy one every January, and you have the month of January to get your dog license.
No.
My dog register on because I just. My dog's up for registration. She's like, how can you do that? Because I just got my dog in October,
All right. Hold on. Yes.
Question is reading number four. So it says for the sale of nine dogs. So say my litter has nine dogs. I sell eight of them, but I give the ninth one away.
Or you keep,
you keep it.
Or I keep it.
You don't need a permit.
You don't need a permit.
What if I give it away? You're not allowed to give it away. You're only allowed to keep it.
No, you can give
it away.
You didn't sell it.
You didn't sell it.
So this is all about stopping the guy from breeding so he's continually breeding and selling. And it's all about that, you know, care. It's all about care.
Where do you want it, Missy?
I have a lawyerly solution.
Nobody will ever understand it.
So...
I know you chastised me, and I wasn't trying, but we're trying to figure out a way to address this and their concerns.
Like for profit.
So where are we at?
At the end of that sentence.
On the third line.
To the public for profit.
I'm fine.
Okay. Did you get that, TJ?
I got it.
Jay's got it. She's, she's the person that's...
So this now says, let me just be sure... offering for sale or more of nine dogs or cats per calendar year or who breeds more than two litters of dogs or cats per year.
Per calendar year.
Per calendar. Thank you. Thank you. Calendar. Thank you. Calendar. Sorry, I'm a crappy typer. Year. For sale to the public for profit, period.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
I got.
Good.
Are we in
agreement? I would then...
Stand by.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make a profit.
Correct.
Right.
Well...
With the intention to make
a profit. Oh,
thank God. And I would then argue we can strike the next sentence.
Any individual who obtains a dog.
The definition that shall not include any individual who obtains a dog food for a bred rescue. I would argue we could strike that.
Strike that.
Gotcha.
But I would then argue...
Okay, hold on. Hold on, folks.
I would then argue that since this is about the dogs, that we need to consider the impact of retail rescue, so not the SPCA or Humane Society, but basically a commercial rescue, I think, needs to be regulated to the same level and manner as everybody else.
What's a commercial?
What's a commercial rescue?
Commercial rescue, they have, it's the same intent. These are the people that are going down south, they're bringing truckloads of dogs up, and then they're selling them to your public. And it is happening for profit, and it's happening right now in this county. And so those folks need... Randout Valley Kennels.
I'll give you the name where I got my dog in Warwick.
They're a they're an
not-for-profit. They're a not-for-profit rescue.
They're doing it for...
The issue is... You're careful what you accuse them of.
Well, I'm not saying they're not good people, and I'm not saying they don't do good work, and I know Susan personally. She's a very fine person, and she does a good job.
Where they get their dogs?
But...
All right, hold on.
The issue is that this whole concept of retail rescue is advancing at breakneck pace with dogs coming in from out of the country, with dogs coming in from out of the country, dogs being exported back and forth across the states, and this is starting to go, and I think if we're going to write a law, we ought to think about what's actually going on and think about should we be addressing that at the same time.
Brian and Bill.
Respectfully, that's something that is being looked at by the Attorney General's office, not particularly just rescues, because keep in mind whether an animal is being imported, as you say, or not, this is an animal that is being rescued, not being bred. Mm-hmm. Rondout Valley Kennels, Warwick, they are not breeding these animals. They are basically rescuing animals from other areas. One can argue, does an area need more animals than they already have, but this is something that the Attorney General is looking at. The New York State Animal Protection Federation, of which I am now the Vice President of, is looking at this issue. This could potentially be a monkey wrench to this whole bill. It's apples and oranges. Let the other authorities take a look at this before we start including rescue organizations in this. This is to look at for-profit, as Kathy mentioned earlier.
Okay. Hold on one second. With that said, the state is looking at this.
Yes.
This
correct.
Would then be absorbed in Ags and Markets or...
Wherever it goes,
okay.
It is currently being looked
okay.
at by the Attorney
okay.
General's
and also
office
just
and others.
To remind folks that, Brian brings up a good point, and this law, once we get it situated, we can always build on. So we can, you know, we can always look at that.
And just because, and we all agree on.
Yeah, just because it's not cast in stone. So, and I will say that my dog came with all. I even know what culvert he was found in on I-95.
Right,
so
on.
By the police department. So they were very good, but. You know, my vet tells horror stories the opposite direction. But mm-hmm. if it's being looked at, I think, you know, we have to give the state time to do
and
some
certainly
stuff.
We'll communicate with this committee when the time is appropriate
okay.
because we want to take
okay.
action.
Go ahead.
My thing is that that's, they just said that the rescue organizations should not be discussed because they're not breeding dogs, but they also said just a little while ago that the whole point of being here is to protect the dogs and that we're not going after the breeders, but we're going after the protecting of the dogs, so I would think that they should be included.
Well,
because that's
yes,
what
but
what,
you're
just said
what we're saying is it's being looked at by the state.
Right, right.
So let's, you know, just as we've taken a lot of this out of Ags and Markets, let's get this done. Let the state kind of do some of their due diligence, and then we can always revisit this. Because as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I've got at least 2 more years in the legislature, and some tells me we'll be looking at this again in 6 months to a year. So, hey, you know what? At the end of the night, you got to sleep well, and if we can get this done right, I think it all helps us sleep a little better. So, because we're all here for the same reason. So, so we can agree on that, that we will revisit this.
Are we striking five?
Are we striking five?
So, wait, can
we're
we
all in agreement on four?
Yes.
The way it
yep.
finally got read, and okay. you pulled out that
so
one section you added.
This
how are we?
We're okay with nine.
Well,
trying to move on.
Yeah, I can
nine
see that.
I think him under the table.
The only changes I have are these three words.
Yeah, they get a whole bunch of stuff. Okay,
you have the
so
final words?
Are we going to strike five?
Well, everybody wants the final reading of four.
Okay.
Can you get the final reading of four? I have it if you want it.
Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Like pet seller means any person in Ulster County who engages in the sale or offering for sale of more than 9 dogs or cats per calendar year, who breeds more than 2 litters of dogs or cats per calendar year mm-hmm. for sale to the public mm-hmm. for profit.
You left out
you
the
left
four.
Out or.
There's an or. That's
or.
All right.
Yeah, she meant
we all
or.
Are very
or.
Important.
I missed an or. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
And wait.
Okay, hold on.
The definition shall not include any duly incorporated humane societies because we eliminated that.
Yes.
That. Okay. And to the rest of the.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Inspector.
Thank you. The word profit is a concern for me personally because any other regulated agency who in any given year does not make a profit is not automatically exempted from regulations that they would normally be required to comply with. That includes automobile repair shops, food service establishments.
Can we use ice cream?
Can
yeah,
we add?
Okay, hold on.
Can we offered for profit?
Can
well,
we add the word intent?
Well, we have
all right. So these are IRS things, right? You don't have to make a profit. You can be
right.
a really
offered
crappy business
profit,
owner.
Right.
You can lose money hand over fist as long as you can tolerate it.
But their
standard is an intent. Either make a profit or intent to make profit.
How about not non-profit?
Well, let's explore this for just one moment.
Right, hold,
that
hold,
that
hold.
Very
right,
hold on a second. Let's explore that for just one moment because the you folks sitting here at the table have declared that it is not your intent to make profit.
Right.
Now, how do you prove an intent to make profit? That seems to me to be a very loose loophole, and it's a loophole you could drive a Volkswagen through. I mean.
Well, you know,
by
having done this for a very long time, there is actually a special section of the IRS law that is related to breeding, showing, and horse racing. And you actually get a little looser standard for profit / intent to make a profit. You actually get a little more time. It's not 3 out of 5. It's 3 out of 7 years. But if you can't, it is in the... In the regs, if you can't make a profit in 3 out of 7, you are a hobby, period. They have
mm-hmm.
made the declaration. Lawyers look it up and have at it.
We may have an answer.
Well, I just, you know, I would just mention, I'd go back to the state definition, and the term for profit is mentioned in there. And so I mean, the closer, I've always encouraged, like, the local, I've encouraged local governments wherever we're asked to try to aspire to as much consistency with that definition as possible, just because that way, I mean, say it's...
If it's something both sides can agree to, I'm fine with it.
Is that what it says? For profit?
Yeah. They use for profit. Okay. And so how they do that? How do you tell if a seller is offering for sale for profit or selling for profit? Unless they're advertising, and you can prove that they're doing that for profit.
You could go around the table and ask the other breeders here, but when someone buys a puppy from me, and I don't have big litters, the Samoyed maybe has 5 or 6 puppies total, and most of the time I breed because I want something myself. Okay, so I may be selling 4 puppies. I take all of my expenses, the stud fee, the health clearances, the vet visits, and I divide that up, and I will charge for the puppies to cover my expenses. I never want to go into the hole if I can avoid it. I would like to at least break even. Right. I have been known to sell my puppies for $700, $800, which if you go out on the internet and look at what a Samoyed is being sold for on any given day... You know, start at 2,000 and up. So, okay, I took money for the puppy, but I did it to cover my expenses.
May I just say one thing? I don't understand why we can't just say for sale.
We have for sale.
I will buy off in a heartbeat, matching the state law and the wording that we have all written down, and I'm ready
for
to
profit.
Move on if we can agree.
I'm fine with that.
And like we said,
you know, this isn't, you know, when Moses comes off the mountain, he brings the tablets. This ain't quite the tablets, okay? If you know, we're going to get some feedback, how this works, where we need to tweak it, what we need to fix, and we can always come revisit this.
So
as it is right now, except for eggs and markets, we really don't have a lot. If this gives the folks to SPCA, you know, a little some teeth, and they can go after some bad guys.
I guess the only thing I am thinking of is how to protect those breeds on the cusp, right? This year you had 8, next year you had 12. And so I don't know if...
Are you talking about for profit? Because I'll tell you.
Is that one litter or two litters?
It's 1 liter or 2 liters, right? So how do we make sure that someone can have 1 litter and not get snared accidentally because last year
we're going to have to have some trust.
It's just as simple as that.
We're going to have some trust.
I haven't figured out a way to do it yet. There's got to be an and/or clause somewhere that somehow clears somebody and lets them have 1 litter unencumbered, right? And
well, let's suggest it.
I'm moving on.
Okay, let's go to. We're good. Are we good with 4?
Yeah. Are we taking 4 profit off?
No, we're leaving it on.
Leave it on. All
right. If we're good with 5, to get rid of it.
Well, can I just ask a question about that? My concern is when you go to 6. Again, we're back to people who are breeding on their own premise. Have we missed those people who are collecting dogs that are not born on their premise, or is that sufficiently covered in 4?
And
maybe Brian and Ken, you are comfortable that it's sufficiently covered in 4, because right now I'm seeing a lot of talk about the dogs being born on someone's property, but not the dogs that are being sold secondhand.
Well, let me read you the first part of pet seller. Pet seller means any person in Ulster County who engages in the sale or offering for sale of more than 9 dogs or cats per year.
Calendar.
Per calendar year, right? That right there, that right there encompasses the people who are importing dogs from other places.
Okay, you're comfortable who? That it does, because
okay. What covers that?
The first engages in the sale the or offering rate. For sale of more than 9 dogs or cats per calendar year.
Because if I'm a dog breeder,
and then breeds on their own premises
Let's test the spectrum here a second, right? There's the people none of us like. I'll use the derogatory term pet mill, puppy shop, puppy mill, right? They're the dog source breeder. They sell wholesale. The second layer is the dealer in this, who is the middleman between the pet shop and the puppy mill. And then there's the, quote, seller, who's got the end result thing, animal, that they're selling. So long as we think, if we can strike dealer, that we haven't left a hole, because they're still selling the dog. They're getting it, and they're selling it to the pet shop.
I don't believe that we're leaving a hole. I believe that it's covered. Under
pet seller. I think you're right. I'm just testing
offering
it.
For sale more than 9 dogs.
Just testing it to make sure that we didn't make a gap accidentally.
One other in 6. I'm looking at this and saying...
Let's not move on until we're done.
6, okay. If 4 covers 6.
6, to me, says... If you're selling dogs bred on your premises in Ulster County, does that mean you're selling them in Ulster County? Yeah, I mean...
Wait a minute, where are we?
If I'm telling you I'm not selling them in Ulster County, I can do it?
That's what it says.
Where are we? Number six.
We're seeing if 6 is covered by 4, so that we can get rid of 5.
Right. If 4 plus 6 covers 5, we're good.
Can I make a statement on 5 and 6?
Yeah, hold on. Guys,
I think we're still on 4.
Okay.
I think we have to address the only purebred. I think that's out.
That's out.
That whole bolded thing.
Okay,
that's out.
Thank you. So the reasons for the definitions of dog dealer and dog source breeder,
guys.
The reasons why they exist at all is really for a situation that's not happening at the retail retail breeder level. It's really more or most relevant or exclusively relevant to Section 11, which is the certification, which says that if I'm a pet seller and I am acquiring animals from that source breeder as defined or a dog dealer as defined, then they have to certify that their animals are meeting a certain standard of care where they're bred, wherever they're bred, whether they're Ulster County or it could be Iowa or wherever. So I understand the need to kind of remove those definitions from the definitions portion of the legislation to avoid confusion. But what I would suggest then is, because it's still totally relevant to Section 11 and the sales of dogs at retail in a commercial environment, perhaps you could just transfer those definitions to Section 11 and say, for purposes of this section, you know, a dog dealer shall mean and source breeder shall mean.
I'd rather clean it up, frankly.
Clean it up by
get rid of dog dealer and then change the word substitute.
But if you get rid of dog dealer, then you flip to page 32, where it's Section 11, it's a certification of dog dealers and source breeders. So that means if a pet store comes into Ulster County and wants to sell, they won't have any idea of what a dog dealer is and what a dog source breeder is and who they have to require to certify, because they're actually going to have to demonstrate to the county that their sources are meeting the standards of care prescribed in Section 11.
First off, the dog source breeder is still here. We haven't eliminated that, and I don't believe that the intention is going to be to eliminate that. And The dog dealer here, dog dealers and, you know, blah, 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 the certification section. Pet sellers who do not breed on their premises and dog source breeders, and then just go on from there with Section 11. It's covering the pet sellers that are not breeding the animals on their own property as part of the certification, of what now it says certification by dog dealers and source breeders required, certification by pet sellers who do not breed exclusively on their own property and dog source breeders.
I'm not sure.
Why not just leave dog dealer in there?
I mean, what's the problem with the definition of dog dealer and source breeder?
I wanted to see a distinction between those people who are selling dogs or puppies raised on their premise versus someone who is selling dogs secondhand. Like
a distinction in standard of care?
In the definition. Because then when we get to what he's discussing, people who are selling puppies to a pet shop, that's third-party consignment or whatever they call it. That's not the same as someone who's breeding dogs on their property.
If the standard of care is the same and all the requirements are the same, then why?
Well, right now they're not.
They're not.
If you're going to stipulate we're going to sync them all up, then I'm a happy guy.
We're not talking about dog source breeders. We're talking about the difference between somebody who is a pet seller because they sell a number of dogs or a pet seller because they breed a number of dogs. Right. We are not talking about the difference between a dog source breeder and a pet seller.
Well, and I think the only difference in the definition of dog dealer and pet seller is one is doing it on their premise and one is doing it secondhand.
No, the dealer is a broker. They're not breeding at all.
Right.
They're buying and selling dogs.
And then the
dog source breeder is breeding large numbers of dogs to sell.
Even worse,
to pet sellers.
They're buying and selling dogs wholesale. That's
so
even worse.
Why not leave five in there? Does it affect anybody?
Other than if it's duplicative.
So take that pure bread. But later on, as Phil said,
Well, the problem is later on, there is no standards of care
for a dog dealer.
Only standards of care for a pet seller.
Are already a pet seller under the definition is the issue.
It'll need to get dealt with later.
How do you differentiate between a dealer and a
dealer,
seller?
A dealer is typically a class B, USDA, I can't keep them straight. They're a class B, a USDA class B dealer, a licensed dealer, and they transfer. And so at some point in time, I mean, the reason why I'm just speculating here, but the reason why it's scripted this way is because a lot of times pet stores, okay, commercial retail establishments, get the animals from dealers, not directly from like a massive breeding facility down south or in the Midwest. That's why it's there. Because the certification has to encompass that whole process. Thanks for the word. But that's why it's there.
But why are the dealers doing what they do? They're doing it for profit, aren't they?
Yeah,
but they're still doing it for profit.
I don't know why
they should still have regulations.
Yeah, it says that in B, you know, any type of consumer.
Well, they should, but
percentage of salesperson. So, do you want to leave five in?
Yes. Yeah.
So I want to take out purebred.
Do we want to take out the bowl? We'll take out the bowl.
I'll tell you why the bowl was there. I'll tell you why the bowl was there before you strike it. The bowl was there because a friend of mine is a breeder in Oregon and says, look, I really like your lines. It really is going to help me and help clean up some of my health issues or help improve my ability to match the standard. Can you sell me, and I see the breeding you've got coming up, can you sell me something out of your next breeding? And I say, sure, and I send it to them. Now I'm a dealer because they didn't sell, you know, I just sold it to someone who's going to not resell that dog, but they're going to use that dog to then breed and make dogs. Right?
And those will be sold.
So,
well, it's in the line.
It says for resale to a consumer.
Yeah.
Transfer dogs belong to another facility for any type of price, commission, fee. And again, it's trust.
Right. So I've transferred it to another pet seller.
And
it's normal course of business because, frankly, if I only bred with my own dogs, they'd all have five heads and six legs and nine tails. And so, you know, you've got to use other people's gene pools, or you're not helping the situation.
Right.
Right? So,
I heard that.
So that was why the bold went in. So if we got a way to get around that problem, I'm fine.
Again, you know, I go back to
okay.
a little bit of this, a lot of this is trust.
All right, so I'll just put a note here, get it on the recording, that when I sell my dog to somebody
in
wherever, that you're not going to come back.
Transfer him for the good of the breed. Don't tell him.
Just okay. So we're keeping five.
You know.
Yeah. Stop. Okay. We're
except for the
stop.
Bold. Except for the bold. We're okay. keeping five. Except for the except bold.
Except for the bold. Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're on. We're on page three.
And that's pretty well
set. Anything else on three that?
The dog source breeder. I'm just not sure that the last three words in Ulster County should be there. Because that, to me at least, reading that sentence implies that as long as I'm selling it outside of Ulster County.
Well, so if I'm a puppy mill selling to Dutchess County, I don't have to follow the law?
Well, because this is an Ulster County law.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we're Ulster County.
This is New Jersey.
Yeah.
We're going to Dutchess next.
Okay.
Well, but then it'll say selling in Dutchess County, and nobody and everybody will spend their life getting a passport across the river.
I hear all that, but I mean, this is the jurisdiction.
Yeah,
all
right.
Hold on.
But the Ulster County part is covered if you take that in Ulster County at the end, because it's the dog source breeder means any person who sells dogs he or she has bred on his or her premises. So that's the Ulster County part. But
they're covered even if they sell it to
all I would say is after 20 years dealing with legislatures, the law of unintended consequences almost always dictates that you like cover yourself that
your jurisdiction.
Way.
Well, but okay. So could we say in his or her own premises. Ulster County premises for resale?
Go.
Yeah,
well,
first
off, I'm comfortable with the way it's written. I mean, right. I don't think that it's going to cause any
move
consequences.
On.
But let's go back and officially make these two amendments, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do that so we don't lose work that we've done?
Okay. All right. So.
I make a motion that we amend. Sections 4 and 5 as they have been read over and over and over and over and over again. I believe that Jay has the proper language. If anybody needs her to reread it, I'm fine with that, too.
Okay. Second. Okay. Other discussion then? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye. Okay. All right. Good.
Progress.
All right. So now we're on 3. Page 3. Going down. Anything else?
No. Come on.
Page 4.
I'm out of sync here. My next thing is section 4, pet seller permit.
It's page 5.
It's page 5, okay.
Does anybody have any other issues before that?
Yeah. No, I don't.
I'm sorry, I still have a problem with 6. Somehow, in Ulster County, is in the wrong place.
In Ulster County, I mean, our attorneys have said that it's not going
to
cause any problems.
To breed them on their premises in Ulster County.
It only applies to those who are breeding them on their premises in Ulster County, because that's the length of our jurisdictional boundary that we can regulate.
Yeah, we can't.
We can't regulate anything
right,
that people are bringing
that,
in here from other jurisdictions.
It almost seems to me like it should be interpreted to say for resale by a dog dealer or pet seller in Ulster County, but it's not governing the premises. But you think
Thank
it's
you.
All right.
It's all right. Attorney say it's all right.
It's again for you, not for me.
We're going to go to 5, page 5 then.
Page 5, section 4.
Pet seller permit. Anything?
Pet seller permits, point 1. I think this is minor, but so think of the license for your dog. It can happen in any month of the year, and it's good for a year. And so I'm okay with this, with the permit year. I guess what I was looking for was flexibility to say, you can go in any time and say, I want a permit. You go through the process, and then it's good for a year. Because otherwise what you have is this huge workload lump, and it comes from whatever, you know, December 1st to December 31st, and you got to staff for that and train for that, and I got to get all your inspections in 30 days.
That's on us.
Well, but if you,
that's on us.
But if it's, you know, if it's like the dog license, then it's a year is a year.
That's a regulatory nightmare, and so I think for the purposes of the county as well as this agent, if, for them to be able to know when they have to come up with permission to be able to watch it, because otherwise you guys can come in willy-nilly and it'll just be really, really difficult. I mean, one of the reasons why you know everybody gets their dogs at different times, the dog may pass during the year.
It's also with dog licenses, it's also dependent upon immunizations, because you are only allowed to have a dog license for so long as your dog is immunized against rabies. So it coincides with the rabies vaccination, and if you get a 1-year rabies vaccination, you only get a 1-year license. If you have a 3-year rabies vaccination, you can have a 3-year license.
So we're
one-year license.
So we're good with that.
Well, so what's the process for, I've never needed a permit before, and now I need a permit, and it's June. Are you going to say, sorry, you can't breed, you got to wait a year?
No, you go in and you get a permit.
And it's good for 6 months.
Yeah, and then in January you'll get another.
And there's no fee.
I'm
not worrying about the fee. The fee isn't the issue. The fee is when someone says, I'm sorry, you can't have a permit.
Well, why would they deny
that?
But, I mean, I guess
that's
the thing is...
Well, that's right. Right. Hold on,
I'm questioning the process.
Okay.
It's just, I'm just saying to you is that so long as you're meeting the standards of care and so forth, then there wouldn't be any denial. I mean, if you come under the threshold of this law, then you have to get a permit and meet the standards of it. No, so I'm trying to understand what you
just means the time of year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've addressed it.
Yes.
I don't think it has been addressed though.
Yes. If it's December 1st and you need a permit, you go get one, and it's good till January, and then you get another one.
And if it's July, where does it say that I can come in and
walk in and get a permit?
My confusion is what she just said.
You couldn't come till
No.
If you need a permit, you go get one.
Okay.
And it's good till December 31.
I see.
January 1.
It's not like Medicare that you have a chance to sign up in that window and then
that's it. That's what I'm worried about, right? If I miss my health care window and I have to go without health care for a year, right?
You're going to the vet, largely the doctor.
I don't want to miss my window.
No.
And
there's no window.
No, we didn't want there to be random years. Calendar years.
Well, I like to go to
the new mini report.
Page 6.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. Have a welcome app for you.
Page 7. Section 5, permit refusal, suspension, revocation.
Wait. What did we go? What happened to...
You missed inspections.
You missed... Well, we were at pet seller permits, item 1. Were we not? And then we were going to item 2, or did I miss them?
No, I was in page 5. Now I went to page 6.
Nobody said anything on page 6. Would we like to go back to page 6?
I like
this. Turn page.
Page 6 is the continuation of what?
Yeah, so
pet seller permits.
Yeah, so this whole...
Guys.
This whole section, I'm not sure why the county's... maybe it's not here. Maybe I'm reading into this, so somebody can just slap me.
I will.
Okay.
I always like.
You guys are related, or you just have the same last name?
Husband and wife.
No, but I thought you lived in Burgundy.
Yeah, so does she.
But I thought you said you're in Shangham.
I am. Born.
That's our kennel club.
You're part of that kennel club.
So.
Thank you.
So the county has a way to subcontract or whatever the.
Just tell me what we are
gonna do.
Two.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure why we even have to call out that they can delegate their authority. They could do that anytime they want anyway, can't they? Whether we say it or not?
Not without authority.
It has to be in the law.
Okay.
The local law, this local law passed by the legislature would grant the authority to the department to subcontract.
That's right. Without it, they can't do it.
Okay.
Page page 7? Not yet.
No.
And the legislature, I believe, would have to enter into the agreement with the welfare organization as well, since it's going to be an agreement entered into by the county, and the chairman signs agreements entered into by the county.
So it's probably not in here.
But it has to authorize
but
it if it's over.
Exactly.
But what is in the back of my head and what I'm trying to make sure of is that this set of words here, along with the set of words later in the document, don't somehow set up a relationship between fees and fines and the permitting process.
Yes.
Right? And so long as we can find a way in all of these words to separate those two things, they have no business belonging together, I'm good. But I'm not sure with the set of words that are here that we couldn't inadvertently end up in some sort of a incentive process accidentally where the outsource contractor is funding themselves basically by fining people and being maybe overzealous.
I thought we took that language out. That was addressed. And if it's not, I will make sure, because that would be the discussion we had.
It was. We've had that a couple times.
I don't see it there. I don't know what language they're
Which
talking
section
about.
This is the whole 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
We talked about set fees for the organization instead of having the fines right. go to pay for it. And the fines would come to the county to offset the cost of contracting out.
Right.
Okay.
So that was
and all the funds will be going to Ulster County.
Good.
Good.
That's good. That's what
they
we want.
It will not be going to the agent.
Okay, good.
Okay.
It was something that I was thinking of before. If you go into a home, I guess this would be addressed to whomever will be doing the inspections. If you go into a home and they don't have the permit, are they going to seize the litter because you don't have a permit, or is it just a fining thing?
It's a fine. They can't. I don't think it off this local law does
can't
not authorize.
Can't property.
Okay. I just was a thought that came up when we were talking.
Can't seize property unless it's too far.
Well, it's an abuse of cruelty.
And the other half of that was, if they don't want to pay the fine, what could they surrender? I mean, I'm thinking of people who have accidental litters, okay? Or you know, the dog was bred by the neighbor's dog
There's
or whatever.
There's discretion here, too. Understand that one of the things that Legislator Ronk made sure was that there's discretion for the Commissioner of Health to have authorized regulations that will allow for that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So there will be discretion. You know, trust me, every case that comes across is not prosecuted.
I'm not even talking about they can't meet the thing. They're just going to say, oh, well, you know, it's just a mixed breed litter. It was an accidental. I'm not paying $150 fine. Here's the puppies.
You can only regulate all possibilities. You can't fix every. Put something in law that'll fix everything.
Okay. Right, and I think they'd be subject to the fine anyway, so it wouldn't matter. I can't barter the puppy.
We've got less than an hour to go through the rest.
Okay.
Okay.
Well.
All right.
Well, it'll get easier as we go.
Okay. All right. So.
Okay. So they answered your questions.
Can you pick like the big stuff?
Yeah,
because I know you've been kind of and
yeah,
I, and
no,
I
it's going
to
get a lot faster from here.
Minutes,
we've
right.
done
we
the hard stuff.
Okay,
there's
so
another big meeting coming in.
Yeah,
after this.
We've done the hard stuff. I think.
Am I in that meeting?
If you look at Section 14 violations, that's where the
I'm going across the street.
Funds are.
All right.
If we go to the bottom of page 7, at least my page 7.
Mm-hmm. What
permit refusal
number
suspension
4
revocation.
What section?
I'm going to need a section.
Section 8.
Section 8. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you just skipped along.
You want to ask
page 7.
Right?
No. Bottom. Yes. Last
section
paragraph.
5. Conviction.
No. I'm on my page 7.
No, no.
Section
8. Paragraph 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have different pages, so you have to go with sections.
Okay.
Section 8.
Section 8.
Number 4.
Eight.
The temperature surrounding the animal shall be...
Yeah, we can't jump that far ahead.
Okay, go back.
Unless anybody has anything to
do. Yeah, they do.
They do.
Yeah.
That's why we're going this slow.
Yeah.
Section.
Hold on.
We're
all right, hold on.
God bless you.
Well, we.
Here.
Are we on section 6?
No. I'm on section 5.
Let's get back to 5. On page 7.
We didn't do 5.
We didn't get a chance to talk.
No, I know that. We're getting there. That's why we're going back to it.
Permit refusal, suspension, or revocation.
Right.
You good with everything prior to that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good until section 5.1.
Okay.
Okay.
Section
5.1, local law based on conviction of a violation, I'd like it to say, of sections, and then have all of the sections that are in the abuse law, the abuse registry, so that's 351, 353, 353AC, 355, 56, 60, 61, 65, 66, 366A.
Is that
eight.
It's covered though, isn't it? Right.
No, this says all of them.
Right. What's and wrong so, with all of them?
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with this is me being a jerk.
All right.
And we all know I can be that. And me being a conspiracy theorist.
Just tell us what. Right?
Yeah.
Somebody comes into my home and specs, uses the fine print to say your dog doesn't have any water. You're now convicted of abuse, and I can never have
a. You're not convicted of abuse until you go before a jury of your peers or a justice.
I'm just saying, if you're convicted of a felony crime, yeah, absolutely. If you have some misdemeanor, somebody did
some
a fine print ho hum on you. Then I'm not sure you should be penalized for the
it's
rest of your life.
All right. Brian,
hold on. Respectfully, as Bill just pointed out with his shocking response, a felony under New York State law for animal cruelty, you have to willingly want to, you have to show intent to kill and torture an animal, to set an animal on fire, throw him out the window. That is horrible. But misdemeanors, the most horrible crimes become misdemeanors. So I think I respectfully, sir, I would say that from the HSUS's point, we've looked at a lot of those, that this really should stay in here. I think a misdemeanor is nothing to say.
Most felonies get pled down to misdemeanors anyway.
Thank you.
Very, very few are ever convicted of a felony level offense.
Well, in this county, they are.
In dog fight. Yeah, no, it's
well, you know, and we all agree, right? All of this. You know, the dog fighting and all the aggravated cruelty and all that.
Hold on. Folks.
All ought to be in there.
Not a lot of time.
Can I make it easy?
Yeah. No.
Very quick and easy question.
The ones I said are the ones I want in there because they're all bad. They're all horrible.
They're all good.
Well, it doesn't go by eggs and markets. Somebody comes in, they're gonna write paper on you, and they're gonna cite those things and get pulled into cruelty to animals and danger in the wife life. It's spelled out here, and that's what you know.
I agree.
The penal code would meet the narrative. And
I'm fine with that. I thought we had asked at some point. Article 26 of the agriculture markets law, or equivalent in the penal law. And I would like to put or equivalent in the penal law in case, you know, the sky falls and heaven comes to earth and we finally pass the consolidated animal crimes bill.
Or regulations, Ken. Or regulations promulgated.
We're going to throw penal law in there.
They don't usually do regulations under penal law.
I wouldn't say that a regulation would be a violation of the penal law.
We have violations under the egg and markets. For
right.
Shelter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Don't regulation.
All right.
All right. Let's move on.
So you want to
move it?
Okay. Well, with that amendment, we need a resolution. Then, right?
I'm making a motion.
Okay. Motion. Second. Section 5.1.
Yeah. Reference.
Second.
I'll second. I want it clarified again.
Go ahead.
It's going to read based on a conviction of a violation of any provision of Article 26 of the Agriculture Markets Law, comma, or equivalent in the penal. No.
No, because you should keep regulations promulgated. They're under.
For ag markets.
After, because they don't. Do
after regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because they don't usually do regulations under the penal law.
Wait. Well, when we get in the penal law,
we want
to specifically talk about the ones contained in Article 26, I believe.
So
I don't think we can just say.
So Article 26 of Ags and Market Law, comma, equivalent penal law,
comma,
or regulations promulgated.
I thought Erica wanted
that's
it to
fine.
Say.
You know what?
Good.
It's good.
Okay.
That's what I was going to finish reading. So
okay, there's no other discussion.
Then, sir.
No, this discussion.
Yes. What's already written? We're adding or equivalent in the penal law.
I've got Brian's reaction, if it's okay.
He's not. Brian, what do you think about that?
I'm okay with that, thank you.
Yeah, that's cool. Fine.
Okay.
Okay. Other discussion then? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Section 5.
Anything else in Section 5 after 1?
Okay, we're cruising now. We've got it in second gear.
Page 8.
We're in page 8.
5
out of 48. Yeah.
5 3.
Page 9.
Maybe what section is 9? My pages are different.
It would be section 6 of 5.
Section 6 of 5.
Top of page 9.
For some of us.
Any count. Pet sellers.
Okay.
All right.
Section 6, administration and enforcement.
That would be 6-1.
Turn page. We're on page 10. Section 7, inspection of pet sellers.
I have an issue with 4.
4?
Section 4.
Wait a minute.
Did we say section 8?
No, section 7.
Go to page.
Section 7?
Kathy, you have to go to 10. You have to go to the same.
I'm on 7. All right.
No, you've got to go to.
I got it.
He's got all his comments written on his, which is a different page number.
Okay,
all
right. So you're in section 7.
7.
Section 7, inspection of pet sellers.
Okay.
You have an issue then, Kathy, or no?
I might say one should be may instead of shall, but I have not that big a deal.
Okay.
So the only, I think it's okay, but the, help me. This is,
you know,
one
should be may. The commission,
which one?
Commissioner's authorization is may. Shall.
No. It has to be shall, because if you write may, then if the commissioner directs the agent to inspect, then they have a decision on whether they want to or not.
Yes, they've got it. If they direct them, they shall.
Okay. Any?
So the question for the non-legal here is, this is to tie to the permitting process that says you apply for your permit, you can come in and you can inspect, but does it really say anybody can come in anytime? Without warrant, without, I just feel like coming in today?
No.
I'm asking.
Not
because.
Is there a time limit for when the permit was requested?
Well, there's 30 days, so they have to, you apply for your permit, right. You get 30 days, they're going to come in and look, and then in July, someone says, go inspect him again, he was on the edge in December, to which my answer is, no, I don't think so.
Okay, let's go back to the ice cream shop, scenario.
I'm gaining
just for the purposes, my parents used to own and operate a frozen dessert establishment, which is how the permit is described, and it's a health department permit, and with it comes a random inspection,
mm-hmm.
multiple random inspections that they can come back to look and see if you've fixed any deficiencies,
mm-hmm.
and they can come whenever they want during your business hours, and they are able to go and inspect every inch of your establishment.
Right, and so here's the difference. You said the business establishment. You're coming into my house.
Yeah.
You're coming into the bedroom of my home to look at my litter of puppies. You know, I don't think you get the right to come into my home anytime you feel like it.
I mean, to
right? So I think we're bordering on constitutional issues of you need to come in. You don't get the right to just come into my home.
I mean, my mother, when I grew up, my mother was operating a daycare out of her home. And she was subject.
And she was licensed to operate the daycare and all that stuff.
But
she was a business.
Out of her home.
She was a business.
Yeah, but in essence, she
was. No.
As a business.
We're back to the very beginning again. I'm not a business.
No.
Hold on.
But we won't need a permit.
Taking care of these living creatures, even animals. Mm-hmm.
I get it.
So I don't see why you would mind it. I mean, it's not going to happen all the time.
Because it's my house.
Exactly.
I'm having dinner. And you come in and say, step aside.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Going to make it so that you have to be responsible by getting the permit.
So why don't you just let me declare myself a business and I'll write all this off in my taxes? You can come anytime you want.
And that's a big difference.
Well,
right?
You can do that.
It's
okay,
a huge difference.
All right, hold on. We have Brian.
No, I can't because the IRS says I can't.
Guys.
See,
there are
guys.
Going to be raids, you know, on
yeah.
people's houses. It'll probably happen once.
I really don't think.
You are engaged in something that requires oversight. These are, if it was, you know.
That's your opinion.
Mm-hmm. These are living animals, and so to do this once, to have this inconvenience, you know, once in a blue moon, to protect all of these other animals that are being abused or neglected, it's a simple exchange. You know?
I don't mind.
Hold on. Come on. I got Brian, and then okay.
I think Kiersey spoke very well on the topic, and additionally, I mean, if you bring up IRS, if you're using, let's say, your laundry room as part of a business, then the IRS, you know, let's say I work from home, so I'm writing off one of my rooms as part of my business. I get audited, they can come into my house and look and see whatever they want. I'm doing laundry in one of my rooms for my business, let's say. You can notice the cat here on my shirt right now, although I don't write it off. They would have the right to do that. I mean, maybe it's just the sad reality where you are raising these animals in your home. I'm just speaking straight from our perspective as the HSUS. We have a dog breeders council. I'd love to have any of you on the dog breeders council because you're the type of people that we are not concerned about in terms of puppy mills. I don't see a jackbooted raid coming to your house. Also, having worked as the executive director of the Ulster SPCA and worked closely with Adam has always been very respectful, followed the letter of the law, and I do not see that this being anything onerous. If you operate out of your house, then it's just what it is, respectfully. With all due respect.
Okay, I agree. This show.
But what you...
Go ahead.
But what you see could possibly not happen, and what the law currently says are two different things. This Adam guy might be great, but there could be a new guy who can be very strict and can decide to come into our house as he fit. I mean,
And if he does anything wrong, you certainly have legal recourse to take someone who pushes it so far and becomes a zealot for the cause.
So then now I have more cost on myself to go get a lawyer because of someone being a zealot?
No, but I'm sorry.
I'm
agreeing
with them.
Teach. Yeah. I think that could make this really easy.
If it's your damn ice cream store.
It's not. I swear to God, I promise. You know, you're applying for a permit. That permit comes with a list of set responsibilities and things that you're opening yourself up to. If you do not like the terms of the permit, don't apply for it and don't breed animals. That's what it comes down to. Mm. Regardless of living things or non-living, I don't care about that. By applying for the permit, you're entering into a contract which allows a certain set of guidelines, including inspections. If you don't want the inspections of your home, then don't breed at your home. If you don't want inspections elsewhere, don't breed there.
That's fine, but we're talking about the process is going to be right now, and that's why we're talking about it.
I feel like I'm back in 1938, you know, Poland, and you're expecting the stormtroopers to come into your house.
That's my theory. You're right.
But we need to move on from that because we can't address all of that in here.
Well, because there have been instances. You say, oh, this can't happen.
And
there
have
been instances where it does happen.
We have a lot of more cases to go.
And you know what? Claim it as a business. I do with my lawn business.
Can't.
Claim it.
Can't. The IRS said I can't.
I think they're...
Look it up. Look it up.
Okay.
call an accountant.
Pet sellers. We've got inspection, pet sellers, minimum standards of care.
Paragraph 4. There's something called void for vagueness in the enforcement of laws. The temperature surrounding the animal shall be compatible with its health and well-being. There has to be notice. So what one person considers compatible, another person might not consider compatible.
As determined by the commissioner. Do you have that written in there?
Yeah. And you have to have notice. Somebody has to know ahead of time what it is.
Just in the corner column.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Can I just make a statement that applies to all of Section 8 before we go through it? So, and that is that Section 8 is almost, but not entirely, all taken from already existing state law. So that Section 4, that exact sentence is exactly what it is in state law. And this is the section where you cannot make changes to this Section 8 that will make the standards of care less stringent than already exists in state law. I just want to put that out there to keep that in the back of your head.
You still have to, it has to be enforced.
Well, so now we go back.
Well,
we might as well go back to page
one. Have something.
Wait.
Temperature shall be regulated. It's all crossed out. That should remain crossed out.
Are you saying
out.
It should be in? Stacey?
No.
And in number 4, we have a lot of stuff crossed out. Which is crossed out is in state law. So should we have that?
Put it back in.
Stacey? Are those specific temperatures in state law?
Tracy.
Negative.
No.
No.
There is additional language in the state law regarding.
Why is that crossed out? No.
Do you want to hear it?
We had made a change that was suggested by Mr. Delaney.
So here, right. And the reason for that was.
That small dog,
50 degrees is too cold, and it's got to have a jacket, but anyway.
A husky's not going to be comfortable in the same temperature as a pit bull or a boxer.
So
hair, long hair.
So, but now we're kind of going back, right? And all the way to page one, right? Because all of these, wait, these are all commercial regs. That's what these are. These are made for a kennel environment. So are you mandating that everyone that breeds dogs has to have central air? Is that really what it ends up mandating? Well, you've got to control your temperature and your environment, right?
I'm just these 200 home-based breeders are eating this standard right now.
Guys.
Is this crossed out or not?
Yes.
It takes away your concern, doesn't it?
Well, that was a bad example. But this whole section is for commercial kennel. I mean, it's the wording and the whole thing is really, it's a commercial.
Well, you get a call and you go into the guy's basement and, it's hot because that's where he has his wood stove, or it's cold because, he lives in Phoenicia and it never warms up in Phoenicia. So, I mean,
All right, so let's move on.
That's the puppy mill, not puppy mill. That's the guy.
So let's move on. So, Section 6.
All right.
Can you hold on one second? I don't know if this speaks to what Tracy's concern is, that you can't change to be less restrictive. The Section D of Section 401 has an additional language in here that is not exactly the same as what's crossed out.
So I would actually ask Mr. Fetcher if what they wanted to strike out, does that make it less?
The actual specification of the actual degrees Fahrenheit? Yeah.
I'm
comfortable with that coming out and just having the local law
determined by the
which requires
the
addition
what's in
of
state law currently.
Do you want to hear what it would require the addition of? Is the question?
The question is, how does somebody know that? Notice requires that somebody knows what they're expected of.
That's why Jay's going to read what's in state law.
All right. Well,
if it's in state law, I'll agree that if it's in state law, we can't change it. It'll get fixed and rectified by the legal team, and they'll make it match the state. Any issue with that?
Match.
Fine.
All right.
Item six.
We're good.
All right. So let's.
Can we hear what it is, though?
Number six.
We're going to. Okay. Read it, and then we're going to have to make the amendment.
We'll call it new four.
Okay.
The temperature surrounding the animal shall be compatible with the health and well-being of the animal, period. Temperature shall be regulated by heating and cooling to sufficiently protect each animal from extremes of temperature and shall not be permitted to fall below or rise above ranges which would pose a health hazard to the animal, period. This shall include supplying shade from sunlight by natural or artificial means. End.
That gives you that brief.
Fine. That's fine. I'm good. Fine.
All right,
I'm
totally fine with that.
Then a motion... has amended the new four?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, discussion on it? No discussion at all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, very good. All right.
Section six, minor change, right in the middle of the paragraph. In order to keep animal dry and prevent it from coming into contact with, I believe should say, keep the animal dry and allow the animal to avoid contact with. You cannot prevent an animal from, I'll be crude, pooping and then stepping in it in the next 4 seconds. You cannot prevent it. You can allow it to avoid and make sure it has enough room to avoid.
That wording came from the state regulation as well.
Yeah, that is true. But,
yeah, but the law I thought was that I thought the point was that you guys can make a law that's less stringent than
no,
no, no,
the
more stringent, we can't make less stringent.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
So do we want to change it or leave it?
We can make it more strict.
Yeah. So
it's just impossible
what's
to.
What's
it's
the word?
An impossible standard. I said allow animals to avoid. Allow the animals to avoid instead of prevent it from coming in contact with. The sentiment is right. The wording is difficult.
Eric, what do you think?
Sync it up with the state law, because I'm sure the state law does not say prevent, and sync it up with the state, and I'm happy.
It's the state law.
It says prevent in the state law?
Wait, we're going to the videotape. Hold on.
Prevent the animal from so much.
I believe it says allow to. Well, the USDA says allow to avoid. Avoid.
Protected.
And prevent the animal from
yeah, it says and prevent.
Well, all right. So we're stuck with it, but okay. It can never happen. Just
okay.
So you know.
All right. We're still on 13. Number 7.
I'm fine with 7. I'd love to strike the last line. The amount of floor space is less than 5% of the minimum requirement for a nursing dog, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
It's bad math.
I'm bad at math.
Even if you're bad at math.
Okay.
Starting with what? If the amount of floor,
if the amount of floor space is less than 5%, just strike that sentence.
That's not we added that.
Well,
all right, so that amendment.
Can you make a motion?
Explain that in a few words. Why you.
If you have a dog and it changes size and it gets a little bit bigger because it got, you know, a little fatter or something during a pregnancy, am I supposed to make the kennel space bigger now?
Well, no, I'll do the math. This is specifically as it relates to pregnant nursing dogs.
Nursing dogs, correct.
Right. I'll use. Simple math. I have no idea what the minimum is for a Samoyed nursing dog, but I'll tell you our whelping box is 4 feet by 4 feet is 16 square feet. You multiply that times 5%. Somebody get your calculator. It's what? 0.8 square feet. 0.8 square feet is this big, and that means I can fit my 50-pound dog and its 6 puppies in a space this big if my vet signs off on it. That's just extra words that have no value, meaning, substance. It's not physically possible. It's just a silly thing. It can't be done.
Okay.
I mean,
you can't
fit an animal physically in this space.
I have a degree in math.
So now it's just extra words.
Mathematically, it makes no sense.
It's just extra words that can't ever be followed.
So moved.
I think there was just some...
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, 8.
Pet sellers, new words here, pet sellers shall... isolate animals that exhibit symptoms of or are known to be harboring contagious disease. This area must be in a location that reduces spread of disease.
Or are known to be harboring, and the last part of the last sentence, which says it must otherwise mean.
Fine, then we're stuck with the state. Move on.
Okay. Okay. 14, page 14. Sanitation is B.
Number one is exactly.
One, fine. Two, fine. Three, fine. Three. Three, C2.
Dogs and cats shall be adequately
dogs
fed.
Dogs and cats shall be adequately fed at least once in any 24-hour period in quantities appropriate for the animal species age, blah, 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 blah.
I think that's for
the twice, at intervals not to exceed 12 hours is verbatim. Can we prove that?
Do you have the
stand by.
Yeah, looking for it.
Stand by.
What is your problem with that?
Yeah, well, at a minimum, at intervals not to exceed 12 hours or at least twice a day, what's the point of the words at intervals not to exceed 12 hours? That's silly. You can't meet that.
It's in here. So, page 16.
At interval not to exceed 12 hours, I have to either feed my dog three times a day or I have to feed it exactly at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. And if I feed it at 7:59, the next period of time is over 12.
Just tell me
what the thing is. So now let's move on because it's in there. So move on.
Okay. Page 16. Top is number 4. Animals shall be provided
with potable water as often as necessary to ensure the animal's health and well-being, blah, blah, blah. So constant access to clean, fresh water doesn't get it done for me. Supplied in a sanitary manner. So
the only thing this local law adds is the word constant.
Fine. Then let's take constant out because I see you all don't have a bottle of water in front of you.
I have one in my bag.
Right, but that's our choice.
But we can go get it.
But if you're trying to housebreak a puppy, you don't.
You're not going to give it constant water.
Mm-mm.
Because then you're.
You're not.
Now you tell me. Access.
You give it access to.
No, I'm going to take away the
water.
I'm going to take
a puppy.
Yeah, but he was very good.
You're going to take away the water for periods of time.
That's amazing.
Those are.
I am. I'm not going to give the water to a puppy, a bucket of water, overnight so that it can pee in its crate and become a training issue.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not.
I'm not comfortable taking that out.
I'm not comfortable leaving it.
Right. Really, well,
but you're not.
This may be a point of impasse, but you know that's.
Let's go on. Let's move on.
What are we doing with that one? In or out?
It's staying.
In.
Okay, I disagree.
Okay.
And no. It's not right.
Handling.
Bad dog husbandry.
It's bad dog husbandry. That's correct.
Okay, we're down. 16, page 17.
What are we into? Sorry, what section?
We're talking about vet.
They're there three times in a day.
Wow.
Giving your arm and your leg so you pay your vet bill. Oh, I probably doesn't say that.
Are we into the, in the case of dog source breeders, F yet?
Where are we?
Where are we?
F.
You're on F on 17. It's midway through.
How can you have cats, minor? I'll let it go. But you can't have cats and a dog source breeder is defined only of dogs. But that's, I'll let it go.
Yeah, where did that come from? Why are cats entered in that, can I ask?
So cats are part of the original.
But you defined a dog source breeder as a dog breeder. Then you said, oh, by the way, they got cats. I don't know how you do that, but I'll let it go because it doesn't impact.
This didn't come from state law, did it?
No, it did not. So we can remove.
Should we put.
Let's remove all four cats.
Yeah, let's remove our
cats. Can we just put dogs/cats?
No.
Well, the dog source breeder is different than a. It's the puppy mill.
It's the puppy mill.
All right, okay. All right. And just take out cats.
Yeah. I make a motion to remove our cats.
Remove all cats?
Four cats.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
But if we let my dog out for a little while, we can do that.
On number two, we have cats also. Are we okay with cats there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Second.
Second.
All right. Discussion. None. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye. All right.
That's for removing or cats from number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you got to give me 3 seconds here.
Yeah.
Ken, help me with this. We took in number three, we took
number three down below number two on the bottom of that page.
On that page,
okay,
number
thanks.
Three, within 5 business days of the pet seller's receipt of any dog.
Yep.
We left. Did we leave Proker? Did we leave section five in way at the beginning?
Yes.
So a pet seller.
Well, the pet dealer is a pet seller.
So the question is, should this say dealer, or does is there a situation where a seller actually receives a dog? I think there is, because pet shops are included in there.
Yeah, that's right in number.
Yeah.
Okay,
page
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on 18 then?
Page 18, yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry, page 18. Mm-hmm.
I'm just doing my best.
There you go. You got to laugh. You got to laugh. Came
into that.
Why not? So this is just me being whiny again, except I'm not going to ask you to change anything, but exercise requirements, right? You know, as a hobby breeder, I'm probably not going to have a documented exercise plan for the dogs running in my backyard, just so you know. And then you're going to...
Your documented exercise plan could be the dogs are running in the backyard.
Well, no, but you have to... Well, anyway, I'll let it go.
Well,
but
and
you,
it says
get the
has
point.
To be approved by a
and
veterinarian.
And approved by the vet.
Okay.
And
when you're talking just, about...
Your veterinarian going
to... I don't want to go there. Just I'll go back to that we have to have some level of trust, but, you know...
Okay. Fire and carbon monoxide safety?
Yeah, fine.
We're on page 20. We have grooming, and then we have section 9, pet sellers, consumer protection requirements.
Yep, fine.
I had a question. Could that just read to follow New York State puppy lemon law? Because then as the puppy lemon law changes, then you don't have to rewrite this every time?
Right, so as it is now, well, we could add... what did my email say?
I can't help you with that.
Puppy
there's a puppy lemon law.
The next time I work for lunch, I'm right. Installed puppy lemon law.
Tracy's got, I think, Peach.
Okay. So, mirrors various general business law.
Right, so the question is, can we just reference that law and say must abide by blah, 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 rather than have 3 pages of writing? I'm just that. You can say, no, we have to write it out, and I'll be quiet.
I think the lawyers are always happier writing things out.
Yeah. You know, it just creates a condition where if the state changes it, then you got to change your law, and you got the maintenance issue, and if you could just reference it, I just think it's less paper. Because we're all doing it anyway. It's not an issue of what it says. It's just an issue of adding 3 more pages in a constantly changing environment.
She never can.
It just saves paper. It doesn't, and for clarity.
And
then if the state changes, then you still have to do whatever the state changed it to.
So this would already take care of that.
So, are we changing 9?
I would leave it alone, and
let's
then we'll change it if necessary, rather than put ourselves in a position that we might be undoing something on an unintentional.
All of that, we're over 32 pages later.
Right.
There's a lot of lemons and dogs here.
Yes, there is.
Holy
there are. Sapphire. By the way, and that's all existing law,
yeah.
So...
I think we're just section 11, certification by dog dealers.
I'm on page 30.
Wait, I'm on 17 of the real pages. I don't know what page that is.
What section are we on?
I'm on disclosure made pursuant to paragraph 1 or 2, which is a G.
Yeah, but is it section
9? Page 27.
I'm on 27.
27 on the bottom.
Good to 27.
Okay, 27 on the bottom. Me. G, disclosure made. Pursuant to.
Last sentence. Strike the word value on the pros and cons of spaying and neutering dogs and cats. There are health issues associated with neutering that the public needs to be aware of in addition to the benefits of spaying and neutering.
Okay, so last sentence.
Page 28, top page, 28.
Page 27, very bottom, it says, at the time of sale, each pet seller shall provide the consumer with information provided by the department on the value of spaying and neutering of dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm. What's the change value to benefit is all he's saying.
I'd like to say pros and cons of spaying and neutering. There are issues with neutering in Spain.
Respectfully, no, that's nitpicking. I mean, no offense.
Yeah.
Well, you can say that, but when someone has their female and brings it in, and then it pees on the floor for the rest of its life, I think they should know that.
Well, and when I get my rescue dog, it's in my contract. Within 6 weeks, I had to have that.
And that's fine.
Spare and neuter, but
I'm comfortable with it, Fred, personally. That's two of us, at least.
Value. That's good. Let's leave it. If there becomes issues, we'll address it.
All right.
I think that was it for me.
29, we're still in the lemon law here. Page 30, section 10, records of purchase and sale.
My note says
you're right.
That section of our law is taken directly from Hagen Market section 402.
Hagen Market section 1.
All
four,
of
10.
All of
10?
All of
section 10.
All of 10. So that was everything we just went through?
No.
No.
Records of purchase and sale.
Yeah, 9. Hang on. I got it.
Records is the next one.
Yeah, I'm okay. That's fine.
Are we excluding cats from this?
Or I don't think
so.
No.
They can be left.
Here. Is fine.
Cats can be in pet dogs.
Yep. Section 11, certification by dog dealers and source breeders required.
Well, but we eliminated dog dealers.
No.
We didn't.
Back on. Oh, okay.
So does this need to say dealer or seller? Or does seller automatically cover dealer or
dealers automatically covers those who are not bred on their premises, right? Because in dog dealer, that's the definition, is someone who's selling to somebody who bought it from a breeder.
I just had a little question about this. Just sort of for my own information. Right. How would you enforce a law like that? How can they, it seems like if you're going to do a law, it should be enforceable. And I just don't understand.
How do you enforce the standard?
Like, how can you find out, like, if they got their dog from California, you have no, how can you go and inspect them to find out? And
the county of Ulster isn't,
record keeping. Well. There's record keeping requirements here as to where you get the dog.
Yeah.
But how do you know what standard if they bought it from California, you have no idea what the standard was there.
The onus is on the seller. They're basically providing a sworn affidavit saying they're certified.
It says you have to fly to California and inspect that kennel personally before you bring that dog in. That's what it's saying. Well, then how are you going to do it? Take their word for it?
Yes, somewhat. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could feel comforted that the Department of Health is not going to fly to California and inspect the place. So
I'm just curious. Sorry.
Okay.
Probably enough.
The legislature would have to approve travel vouchers for that move. So.
It's just like anything else. So, I mean, if you like organic farmers, how do you know if it's organic? If you're like dealing with different people, you're telling you that it's organic.
Section 12. If we're good with 11.
So do we need to change the title of this to say pet dealers and dog source breeders, because pet dealers don't have any standards of care in here at all? It's okay if they're the same to me as the dog source breeder, but we shouldn't omit them from the standards of care, should we?
Wait,
you've got about 6 minutes, I think, please.
Okay.
But a pet seller is a dog dealer.
The dog dealers are also normally going to have the dogs for a short period of time because they're really an intermediary.
Mm-hmm. I just think if it's about the dogs, there should be standards of care.
There is.
No,
there
where?
Yeah.
When for dog dealers, pet dealers?
That was a whole section.
Section 2 is minimum standards of care.
for dog breeders.
For
pet sellers. A pet seller is a dog dealer.
I
here, look, section
no, no, no.
Pet
a pet seller may not be a dog dealer,
not
a dog
dealer.
A dog dealer is a pet seller.
No, that's right.
That's a question.
All
right.
I think.
Well,
it's your law.
Section 12.
What's that?
Dog source breeders, minimum standards of care.
Correct.
Fine. It's a bad formula in here, but I don't care since I'm never going to do this.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Which one?
These are the things that are never going to apply to a
Section D.
Okay.
Section D says you
Where's
can
the part where my dog's supposed to pick up all his toys?
Yeah, Section D says you can keep your dog in a space about the size of a shoebox. But... That's fine.
Does it say you can or can't?
Can.
Oh, okay.
And
only if a vet says so, though, right?
I don't know. Well, I don't think that's enough space, so.
Where do you
I don't think the
that?
Vet will think it's enough space either.
Where okay. are you talking about?
I don't care.
Page 36.
I don't know. Move on. I don't care.
All right, so we're 41.
It's not going to impact me. I don't care.
42. This is all still the.
Yeah, it's, the next page is 44, I believe, right?
Yep.
Section 13, notice to consumers.
Yep.
I think we're okay with all of this stuff.
Section 14, then?
Good. And we're at violations.
What? Boy, who could have been?
Which one? 14.
No, we're right there.
14.
Violations.
So state law, I think, says not more than 500, okay. But I'm not sure on that. That would need to be verified.
Well, we can be more stringent.
So you can make the amount greater?
Yep.
Even though the state says not to exceed?
Yeah. We can go tougher. We can say less.
Okay.
Well,
we can impose
no.
up to $1,000.
Can I just put...
All right, hold on a minute.
I'm just going to read from Section 407, which is the state statute in relation to construction with other laws. And it said... I mean, for the record, I mean, the ASPCA is going to always support, like, the more stringent penalties. However, here it says where any penalty may be authorized for the violation of such local law, rule, regulation, or ordinance, the authorized penalty of such local law, rule, regulation, or ordinance may not exceed a civil penalty of up to $500. And that was intentionally done by the Assembly. The Assembly wasn't comfortable with...
pro-criminal, yes. The State Assembly, the most pro-criminal body
on
the face of the planet.
Right.
I'm
right.
fine with it.
You're right.
Surprised they could agree on anything.
Yeah. That was what they came up with.
So then we have to change 1,000 to 500.
I would recommend, yeah.
That's fine. I make a motion we change 1,000 to 500.
Well, we could be more stringent.
Why can we be more stringent?
That could be more stringent. I mean,
we could be
more stringent.
Yes,
we can. Hold on. Not the way I'm reading that.
I would defer to an attorney's analysis of Section 407. But
can you read it again?
Sure. So this is Section 407 of the state law.
Okay.
And it talks about this is the whole provision in relation to construction with other laws. If you're going to do a local ordinance or a law.
Okay.
And it says where any penalty may be authorized for the violation of such a local law, rule, regulation, or ordinance, the authorized penalty in such local law, rule, regulation, or ordinance may not exceed a civil penalty of up to $500. And that's a classic thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's saying in local law, ordinance, or yeah.
Move, we change it to 500.
All right.
Okay. Second.
Are you seconding or are you asking for a second?
I'll second. Other discussion?
Done.
Is there a way around that?
I'm not hearing one.
No.
And he's right about the State Assembly. You'd be surprised the kind of things the State Assembly gets out of bills.
How about public service?
You mean community service?
Civil penalty is definitely you want to go there.
Well, you don't want to go community
service. I agree with you. I think
leave it at 500.
Okay. All right. Other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right. That's violations. We're in construction and other laws on 45. We are section 16, severability.
That's
standard. That's boilerplate.
Okay. Done. Effective date?
Why June effective date?
What's wrong with what?
Why wait till we do it
sooner? Can we do it?
I would always say, I mean, you know, maybe you do 6 months after enactment, if that's what you want, but you always want to give time to notify the
parties. Yeah, so June is fine. We'll give everybody time to get their act together.
I can't believe it.
All right, so all that being said, then I would entertain we have a motion for resolution 357 setting a public hearing for amended proposed local law number 12/2015, a local law of the County of Ulster for the regulation of pet sellers to be held on November 10, 2015 at 7:10 p.m. I'd entertain a motion then.
So moved.
Second.
Tuesday what?
November 10th. I couldn't hear without my glasses on, so I had said December. So.
It's because caucus is a day early because of Veterans Day.
Right.
Second.
Okay. As amended.
As amended.
So, okay.
Forgive me, the time. The time when we're trying to
7:10.
7:10.
There's no other discussion. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay, before we adjourn, I just want to thank everybody for not only
thank
your
you.
Patience, but thank bearing you. With everybody. We will, this is not going away. We will revisit this, I promise you that, whether I have, you know, no matter where I am in my capabilities, but we will revisit this within the legislature. Adam, I'm going to throw a lot on you that as things come up, if you see where we need to change or helps you or we need to tighten stuff, let us know and... you know, we'll rock and roll with it. So,
and the same thing on the breeders and
After the public hearing, then that could generate some additional changes.
If it does in substantive, then we have to come back and do it again, do another public hearing. So that'll delay. And then if that takes us into December, January,
it will.
Then we have to go through the whole thing again because we'll sit a new legislature. So we have to start.
That's
from
what we
scratch.
Want to make sure we got it right this time. Yeah.
We have
did
to
it.
Go, yeah.
And,
so
and on both I, sides, I, may I add, you never know who's going to be elected next year.
Right,
correct.
Right. So I think, you know.
Except that TJ and I are most likely going to resign.
We're not opposed. So. But
that's why I say most likely.
Sincerely, though, thank you. This, you know, it government does work when people want it to work, and these are good things.
Amen.
And being a dog person, I Jack says thank you. So
George,
okay.
Too.
With that,
thank you.
That motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
Second? I'll second.
Second.
Anybody opposed to that?
I got it.
Okay, all favor. Thank you. All right, thanks, everybody.